We just thought that bulletin from yesterday afternoon was so good we'd replay it, just in like a best of news from yesterday afternoon. Apologies about that little technical issue there. Fired off some news from yesterday afternoon. No, you're not in a time tunnel. Good morning. Welcome to the program. Breakfast with Vossi and Brandy, and it is real. The Socceroos are through to the round of 16. Obviously, that is a big talking point this morning. We're going to celebrate. We're going to break it down. We're going to unpack it. We're going to celebrate. Get on the phones right now if you just want to wax lyrical. Talk about anything. Talk about Wellness Wednesday. This is I have to come up with something, alliteration for Thursday. Thanksgiving Thursday. You beauty. What a great 24 hours for Australian sport on the back of the cricket. If you're listening through 1170 AM here in Sydney, 801 AM Central Coast, 1575 AM Illawarra, 90.3 FM Griffith, 1323 AM in Canberra. Listeners across Queensland for the first hour at the very least, 693 AM Brisbane, 1620 AM Gold Coast, the SEN Track Network through Queensland. Patton Hill's on deck from 6 a.m. Queensland time, but you're with us for, as I say, at least the first hour, and then you can get us on the app. To all our listeners on the SEN app, get on the phones right now. Let's just bask in the glory. I mean, how good is sport? 1-300-01-1170, text 0457-736-736. If you did get up to watch or listen on SEN, have you been able to get to sleep? If you're calling us, obviously not. Or do you have to go off to work? What sort of day are you going to be in for? Should it be a public holiday? I'll check with Brandy in a moment. If you are listening belatedly via the podcast, thank you for that. Don't forget, if you can't tune in live, you can listen via the podcast. Just search for Breakfast with Vossi and Brandy on your favourite podcast platform. We got a tweet this morning, actually, that someone had listened to every single minute of our program on the podcast. I think he said over 8,000 minutes. He said, thank you. It was his favourite Spotify podcast for the year, which we really do appreciate your support. Now, on the program today, Archie Thompson will join us, SEN football expert after 7 o'clock, former Socceroo. Adam Peacock live from Doha after 8 o'clock this morning. Michael Carrianis on the program as well from The Telegraph. Michelle Bishop with all the sports updates. But Greg Alexander, a great 24 hours for Australian sport. A great 24 hours for listening to sport on SEN with coverage of the Test cricket, which will start again at midday today, and then to get live coverage of the Football World Cup and Australia's stunning 1-0 win over Denmark, made even more spectacular by the fact Tunisia knocked over France 1-0. So Australia needed to win, and win they did.
What an incredible result, Vossi. You can have the day off, absolutely. If you stayed up, if you got up at 2 o'clock and watched the soccer and you're feeling a little bit under the weather, don't go to work because it is a great day for Australian sport. It really is. Like,
hang on, stop right there. Listen, stop right there. You said don't go to work, like it was a declaration.
Yes.
If you're feeling, don't go to work.
Yeah, if you've been up all morning watching the soccer and you feel a bit tired, don't go to work, really. Like, it's, but what a night it was for the Socceroos, Vossi, over there in Qatar, up against Denmark, the 10th ranked team in the world. And I know we all had hope and we thought, well, maybe, but you know, to actually win the game, the 60th minute, Matthew Lecky after another assault from Denmark. It was a length of the field goal. Harry Suter, who has had an incredible tournament, wins the ball, gets it off to Riley McGree. And we are, like, through the World Cup, we are learning about our Socceroos. Like, there's no household names in this Socceroos lineup. Even Matthew Lecky, who, this is his third World Cup. It's his first World Cup goal. But, you know, a lot of these players playing either second division, second tier competitions around the world, or they play in the A-League. So we haven't got a famous Socceroos lineup, but they've won two games to make it through to the round of 16, which is incredible. And I am so happy for Graham Arnold. Like, Graham Arnold, who came under so much criticism when we lost 4-1 to France, a lot of questions asked, but Graham Arnold has got them up for two games, two wins, and they've kept clean sheet in both games.
Absolutely. And all our FIFA World Cup updates are thanks to Kraken, your secure crypto partner. Get in the game at kraken.com or download the app. So through to the round of 16. As Brandy said, clean sheet's the last two matches. The 1-0 result over Denmark. The goal came in the 60th minute to Matthew Leckie. This is how we called it here on SEN.
And Australia will try and get it away, and they've got some space here. McGree plays it into the feet of Leckie. Leckie's one-on-one, gets to the edge of the box, cuts around, back to his left. Leckie strikes!
Yes!
Matthew Leckie has put the Socceroos in front. The path to the round of 16 becomes clearer for the green and gold.
Well, if you thought they were going off in the commentary box, you just had to see Federation Square at that moment.
There won't be many flares available now for the purposes of flares for people in distress out at sea, because there's none to buy. They've all been bought by football fans, it would seem. Just confirming, we all have a date. Australian Eastern Daylight Savings Time, 6 a.m. this Sunday. That is when Australia play their round of 16. Now, can I just throw something out there, Brandy? One person we haven't mentioned his name. Now, all of a sudden, penalty shootouts come into play because it's knockout from round 16 stage. Is it built up for a repeat performance of Andrew Redmayne? Because that's his role over there. Andrew Redmayne doesn't get a start. He's third choice keeper, but he's there for the penalty shootout. Wouldn't that be something? So would Matt Ryan go off and Redmayne, that's his job? If we find ourselves round of 16,
I guess
penalty
that's why
shootout
he's there.
Time, step up the grey wiggle, giddy
well,
up.
Well, he's done it before.
Giddy up.
He's done it before. So no reason why he wouldn't, Fossey. I tell you what, but Matt Ryan came up with some big saves. The Socceroos skipper. He was very good, as was our defence, because Denmark really dominated bigger periods of the game than we did. They had a lot more possession. So Australia were on the back foot a lot of times through the game. Their defence, well, it was Aussie style. It was Aussie style defence. It was tough. These two games, we will play one of either Poland, Argentina, Saudi Arabia or Mexico, and those games are underway. 10 minutes into both games, it's nil all. And Poland do sit on top of that Group C table. Argentina with one win, one loss. Saudi Arabia also on 3 points. Mexico on 1 point.
Can go anywhere. Anyone of the four can make it. That's amazing.
Anyone can make it.
That's incredible. All for cracking. Let's do a little bit more review just before we rip into your text, because there's some great texts coming through, and so there should be. It's a really positive day. But let's hear from Matthew Leckie after the win, the goal scorer in the 1-0 victory.
We always knew we could do it. We believed as a group. We had our doubters, but, with our spirit, our belief, work ethic, and how close we are as a group, it shows on the pitch. And, you know, that last 15, 20 minutes, we battled until the end, and it didn't matter what they threw at us. We weren't conceding. So just so proud, you know, we've worked so hard, and, you know, this is my third World Cup now, and I've had my chances in previous World Cups. It wasn't meant to be, and it's probably one of the most important goals for me and for the team.
Yeah, and again, for those who don't follow football week to week, let me just make one point about Denmark. 10th in world rankings. Yes. For this World Cup. Number 10 in the world going into this World Cup. And Australia on the biggest stage, with so much to play for, life or death, have knocked over Denmark 1-0. So that is incredible. And Brandy, you've paid tribute to Graham Arnold. How good would he be feeling right now? This was Graham Arnold trying to collect his thoughts straight after the win.
We've been working on this for four and a half years, about the belief of the energy and the focus. You know, I could see in their eyes they were ready tonight.
And just before, you've got the next game coming up quite soon. How will you embrace the celebrations tonight, if at all?
No celebrations. As I said to the boys, that's why we won after a great win against Tunisia. No celebrations, no emotion, sleep, no social media.
There you go.
What about quick that? Turnarounds. Yeah, they're quick turnarounds, aren't they? There's a few more days, but I watching some reports from Qatar about Australia's lead into the game, and it was there was very little work done between Tunisia, the win over Tunisia, and that game against Denmark. And they actually said Matthew Leckie, and they made a point of mentioning Matthew Leckie in the report, and said that he's basically done nothing. He did, because he was that exhausted. After the Tunisia game, Matthew Leckie, it was basically rest between both games. So very little work on the park.
just a little observation too, where Graham Arnold said no social media. Are you allowed to send out just a little sneaky tweet? Because if you follow Mitch Duke, you might want to look up his tweet, which does involve an expletive, just a one-line tweet from Mitch Duke, which I'm totally accepting, and I'm not dobbing into the coach. I'm not going to tell Graham Arnold that Mitch Duke may have sent out a social media post. I encourage our listeners, I won't read it word for word, but I encourage our listeners to give Mitch Duke a follow and see his little tweet after the win. Very Australian. Very, very Australian tweet. So, have your say on the Socceroos right now. 1300 01 1170. McDonald Jones open line. Text 0457 736 736. Where it ranks, where you were watching. You know, everything comes to a halt now. The game that stops a nation. 6 a.m. Sunday morning in the round of 16, Brandy.
Yeah, something we didn't raise with Joel Kane yesterday when we were talking about the odds for all the games and little multis that might have been good. An Australia into Tunisia multi last night. That would have been handy.
Nice. Yeah, wise after the event, Brandy. Great stuff. That's thanks to Kraken. Like a leading keeper with Kraken, your crypto is in good hands. Kraken.com. That is spelt K-R-A-K-E-N. No score in the two matches being played currently, which, of course, have the huge bearing on who Australia's opponent will be on Sunday morning. Now we go to the Test cricket. As I said, big 24 hours for Australian cricket. Big 24 hours for sport right here on SEN. Our coverage will again kick off at midday today. And Australia 2 for 293 after winning the toss yesterday. Marnus Labuschagne, 154 not out. Steve Smith, 59 not out. Usman Khawaja, 65. Dave Warner missed out with 5. It was quite something. Was it unexpected? No, it wasn't unexpected. But I thought Australia also paid the West Indies great respect. There were some periods there where there was some, you know, some serious heat coming at them. West Indies did their best and Australia went about compiling. And Labuschagne and Smith, if Pat Cummins said bat all day, I reckon they'd take up the challenge and they will bat all day. Those two. I'm saying we won't need anyone else. I think they're in a mood, those two. I'm on their bus.
Well, look, it was a green top, Vossie, and it was tough batting in the early periods. And I heard Marnus Labuschagne say that the pitch actually quickened up after lunch. So West Indies wouldn't have been that disappointed to get the ball in their hands and after they lost the toss. But Australia elected to bat. Davey Warner went cheaply after chopping one back onto his stumps for 5 runs. And I think a lot of us thought that Dave Warner might have been, you know, he's the Perth specialist, might have got a big score. But Usman Khawaja, 65, Marnus, 154, and Steve Smith, 59. Labuschagne and Smith, both not out. But, we'll get to 500 or more. And then I'm looking forward to watching the Australian bowlers in action on that pitch. The thing that I got in commentary about the West Indies a lot yesterday was they were too short. They just bowled too short.
Marnus Labuschagne was his usual effervescent self. We got a little bit of audio that he was facing Jason Holder, who was very tidy, his figures, but this is Marnus in Marnus mode.
And that's another jaffa from Jason Holder late in the day.
Oh, Jason, that's a delicious ball.
Did he say that's a delicious ball?
That's a delicious ball. He's in raptures for the man he's facing. That's got to psych your head out, doesn't it? Like, seriously. Yeah. You're in a heated test match battle and the batsman's giving you, excitedly rapping you.
Yeah, they did seem to bowl better late in the day, the West Indies. And listening to Damien Fleming, because after yesterday, Vossie, after the show yesterday, I jumped in the car and drove out to Penrith and then drove back home later in the afternoon. And I listened on to our coverage of the test match. And Damien Fleming was saying, you know, they're bowling 4 or 5 balls short and then pitching one up. He said they need to reverse that. But Marnus, I did hear him say too late in the day, I don't know who the bowler was, whether it was Roach or Holder. And he said, well, you won that one. That you got me that over. yeah, that's your over.
Like, that is psyching you out, that. That is doing your head in. That would be doing your head in, although Holder's a very experienced campaigner, former captain of the West Indies. So you can have your say on the cricket as well, if you really got into it. I mean, the crowd, by the way, 10,929 in a 60,000 stadium, but you'd like to think a few more will get along today because it'll certainly be a show. But if you can't get there, of course, listening on the SEN app, it's the best radio coverage I've ever heard all my life. In cricket, just the analysts, the fun they have, it's engaging with the audience, and that's all on again from midday today. No score in both those World Cup matches being played right at the moment. That is there at the FIFA World Cup, Saudi Arabia and Mexico, Poland and Argentina. Let's rip into your calls and texts in just a moment. Come on board, put your Socceroos shirt on and talk up the Socceroos. And if you want to talk the cricket, go there as well. It's 20 after 6 in New South Wales, 20 after 5 in Queensland.
Ah, Vossie, what a great day it is. And the McDonald Jones Open line has lit up. Mm. So let's go to, let's Baddow Bay, John from Baddow Bay. How are you, mate?
Good morning, guys. What a great win. It's good that we're going so well in the sport, the Rugby League World Cup for the men and the women, and hopefully the soccer. I think we even won a game of union recently.
Yes.
We might have. Yes, we might have snuck home. Yeah,
we might have snuck home against Wales. 21 points down. You're right. Good point, John. What a roll. Where else can we play?
Greg, I'm just wondering about you giving everybody the day off. Now, didn't Bob Hawke do that when we won the American Cup?
Well, he did, yeah. So I'm just, following tradition, great days for Australian sport.
He was the leader of Australia. You can't even make Bossy's leadership team. We really should push for that.
John, very good point. That's a very good point, John. Good point.
Very good point. Very good point. He'll have to lobby. He'll have to crunch numbers. John.
So, John, you're saying I just hold no sway. I haven't got the...
No, you just throw it out there. You throw it out there. You're a teal.
We love you, Brandy.
Yeah, well done. We love you, Brandy.
Good on you, Johnny.
Quite a great positive call.
Enjoy your day, mate.
Tony of Hunters Hills there wants to celebrate the Socceroos' victory. G'day, Tony. Are you on a day off or not? Hello, Tony.
Mm.
Mm, maybe he is.
No, hello,
he's
Tony.
He's back. Hello, Tony. Mark, we've got Tony there. No, I think we'll go to Josh. Now look, Josh is there from the National Curriculum podcast. He was at Federation Square in Melbourne this morning where things have gone into Mayhemville. Josh, good morning to you, champion.
Good morning, gentlemen. That was sensational.
It either looked like the biggest bushfire I've ever seen or a war zone because it was just red.
Our phone lines crashed. Josh, that was sensational.
It has.
And that's as far as we go. We'll just leave the calls there for the moment. We've got a million texts coming through. This one, the Greenkeeping Rooster says, morning, Vossie and Brandy. I declare it Matthew Leckie Socceroo Day. So the goal scorer gets acclamation and we rename the day. And I love this one from Sparky on the Kapiti Coast, is it?
Kapiti Coast.
Yeah, he says, Denmark, you are our sons. Qatar, you are our sons, baby. There we go.
That's Tunisia, sticking it to
you him. Are our sons.
Yeah. You know? To all you Danes out there, don't take offence. Don't take it personally. But, yes. Let's go back to Josh, who was at Federation Square this morning when it was mayhem. Josh, just take us through what was happening at Federation Square.
Well, I mean, I wasn't expecting as big a crowd as the Tunisia game just because it was 2 a.m, and I couldn't have been more wrong. If anything, it was much, much bigger. I don't know what the capacity of Fed Square is, but it was at capacity and then some. It just built and built and built from, you know, about, you know, 12:30 up until kickoff, and then there were more people streaming in even after halftime trying to find a spot. I think everyone, once they saw the Socceroos were in it, even after the goal, saw that, you know, Fed Square was the place to be for the final whistle celebration. So more and more people were trying to pile their way in. And Yeah, mayhem is the right word. It was just euphoric.
What about the actual
goal, Josh?
Goal went in. Yeah, describe that moment. You're there among the throng, and the goal is scored, and it comes from downtown, the movement upfield. What was that like?
Well, I mean, I think people thought the move was over. There was a moment where it looked like it had gone, and then Lecky somehow found a bit more space and shifted the ball onto his left. And so there was a big sigh of kind of half disappointment and then just ecstasy. Just people jumping up and down. There's, you know, flares and fireworks going off left, right and centre. People climbing on each other's shoulders. It was just this heaving mass of people, and you know, there was even a little pocket of Denmark fans actually near me, who I thought were very brave turning up that tent.
Yes.
They had their heads in their hands, but the rest of the crowd was absolutely going bananas.
You are our sons, Denmark.
Yeah, yes. It was an incredible. I've only seen vision of it, Josh, but it was it did look like the place to be. What a great morning! What a great. What a great Australian sporting moment that was. Good to be
good
part of that,
Josh.
Federation Square. You'll never forget that, Josh.
Yeah, thanks for the
absolutely.
Call, Josh.
No.
You're a good man. You're a good man. Thank you for sharing some of that excitement. Tony of Hunters Hill is there. Now we can go back to Tony. G'day, Tony.
Oh, Vossi, I'm so excited. I wish I could reach and hug you two boys there. I saw the second half. I was buggered. I was coaching some nine-year-olds yesterday, and that took a lot out of me. I got up to watch the second half, and I thought, I knew the French were going to lie down, by the way, for this one. We should never have pulled out of the submarine deal. I think for sure that they put in about six or seven of their replacement players, and they looked like they were just pedestrians, you know. So the Australians had to win. They knew what was happening in the other game. And this is what I love about this team now. They were vilified the first game, and rightly so, because of the tactics we used after about 20 minutes. That's not the Australian way. We can never match it with skill and wit with some of those Europeans or South Americans. But when it comes to heart and 100% effort, you know, Aussies are renowned for that. And sure enough, they did it for us. And look, I hope the whole country's proud of these boys. The good thing about soccer now, Vossi, the good thing is that our prize money now goes to $20 million. If we win the bloody thing, we get $65 million. I don't know what the Rugby League World Cup winners get, Vossi, do you know?
That's good. But yeah,
you can take a lot of zeros off. I think a lot. Yeah.
That's how much it's worth. And the other thing is that every club in Australia, A-League, that has a player in this World Cup gets about $15,000 a day from FIFA because their players are in World Cup duty. Can you believe that? So the struggling Central Coast, will get nearly $1 million if they carry on this way.
Giddy up.
Yeah, this is the amount of money that FIFA's got. And like Infantino said, today we're all socceroos.
Today I feel Kylie Minogue. Today I feel Kathy Freeman. You know, a great Australian. That's it, Gianni. Tony, stay on the line there. We'll send you out a Signet power bank for your exuberance there on the open line. A Signet power bank going the way of Tony from Hunters Hill. Jay's joke will come up. We'll have to do it after the news because we're running late. Hopefully it is the news, not from yesterday. Here we go.
We're back on track now. Thank you, Vanessa. We're here thanks to Bryden's Lawyers. Unable to work due to injury or illness, contact Bryden's Lawyers on 1-800-848-848. Now, we're going to rip into some texts, and you can get us on the text line 0457 736 736 or the McDonald Jones open line 1300 011 70. The McDonald Jones birthday sale is continuing, and you save thousands on your dream home.
Just ahead of the Jay's joke, what about this text? To all of Arnie's knockers, go suck it. He put the Central Coast on the map with the Mariners. Now the world know who the Aussies are. Boom, says bus driver Mick. Thank you, bus driver Mick. They wouldn't be getting texts like that in Denmark, would they? In the equivalent of breakfast with Vossie and Brandy, there wouldn't be, go suck it. You are our sons, all of this. Imagine someone from Denmark just curious as to how we're celebrating on our breakfast show. I don't know what they think of the first half hour of the program. It's been very interesting.
Can we get, about Princess Mary? Can we get her on the line? Aussie in Denmark.
We should.
Just find out how things are for her. Yeah.
But it'd be in the maid outfit now.
She's going off.
The, the, he'd be in the maid outfit. He'd be cleaning things. He'd be on house duties for the whole month. She runs the country now. Jay's joke of the day. Now, Jay has been in exceptional form. It'd be really disappointing if he fell off that perch. But I'm with Jay. Here we go, mate. Fire up on a big day for the Socceroos.
Lynn and I went to this new age restaurant in our area last night. Very strange. It's called Karma. They don't have menus. You get what you deserve.
Get what you deserve. Get what you deserve. Okay. Get what you deserve. It's too early in the morning for me to try and work something out that's not simple.
It's such a positive
Andrew,
day.
Can you help me?
I can't really, no.
No.
I'm just saying that it's a really positive day, and I think we take that in our stride, and now we go back to the text. Morning, boys. It's a bad day to be a can of Red Bull in Australia today. It's going to be a long, long day, says Bakes. But Brandy's already said day off. Brandy said day off. The Socceroos actually put it to Albo, because Albo sent a message, Mr. Albanese, Prime Minister of Australia, sent a message of congratulations, and the Socceroos, whoever runs the social media account, are you saying we can have a day off? I don't know whether Albo actually responded to that.
No, he left that hanging.
What is the benchmark for day off? Because round of 16, probably not, but what if we make, we've never gone past that. What if we make quarterfinals? Is that day off?
Oh, that's definitely a day off. But I can't give it anymore. Yeah. I think John of Baddow Bay, I think he said it right. I can't even make the leadership group in the SEN breakfast team. I can't be giving days off.
Round of 16 and
Rooster
quarterfinals.
Rooster man, go to work.
Round of 16 and quarterfinals are weekends. If we were, and I'm getting way ahead now, what if we made the final four? That's a midweek. You'd have to declare that a day off.
Yes.
Imagine that. That'd bring the house down, wouldn't it? You can have the day or half day off to watch the game. That's your leave pass.
Not a bad idea. But that's Vossie, that's why you are in the position you are. That's why you hold sway. Nil all in both games. So 37, just on 37 minutes into both, Mexico and Saudi Arabia, Poland and Argentina. Argentina, very close, but no goal. So nil all. Now, we finished second in our group. So France finished first. We finished second. Tunisia finished third. Denmark finished down the bottom on 1 point.
There's a penalty. It's Argentina-Poland, by the way. And it's gone to the VAR. And it's all happening.
It's Messi. Messi's lining up the penalty.
Messi. Yeah. And I think this is going to get messy. But there we go. Argentina, Poland, Argentina looking to maybe finish top of the group, play Australia, all those sorts of things, all running through your head.
Oh, it's saved.
It's saved. Well, there you go.
Ooh.
So it was the goalkeeper who conceded the foul that they went to the VAR, and now Messi's missed, and the great save. That's quite a moment.
Great save.
What a morning of drama. This one, morning, boys, and all in capital letters. What a win, !!! Been up since 1:30 to watch it. Lecky is an absolute machine and deserves that goal. And Big Harry surely gets a few eyes on him after his performances. What a day. Off to work now. Up the ruse. Ben of Cronulla. Harry Suter too. You've got to remember, coming off knee reconstruction. So that is his... That's only his fourth game. Coming off a knee, Rico. That is some effort.
Remember we got a text message off a Stoke City fan to say that Harry Suter had made, and you know who that Stoke City fan is.
Paul
Bowd. Mr. Paul Bowd. He texted us a couple of, maybe, I don't know, 6 weeks ago, maybe, and said Harry Suter had just made his return, come onto the field for Stoke City, which is great news for the Aussies. And I didn't know exactly, how big a moment that was for the Socceroos or for Harry Suter. But, boy, hasn't he been good.
Now,
Stoke City, he mightn't be at Stoke City for much longer.
Yeah. Look, there's a sad story coming through. BBC News reporting that Fleetwood Mac singer-songwriter Christine McVie has died at the age of 79. That being reported by BBC News. And also, in the world of sport, this is quite a... sorry if you're about to eat your breakfast. But Pakistan are due to play England today, first test, Rawalpindi. But there's a chance the test will not go ahead. It's got nothing to do with security concerns or that. 14 members of the England squad, how do I put it? They have the runs, Brandy. They have a horrible case of gastro. So much so, they can't field a team for the first day of the test. Now, are they even going to be right tomorrow? They're saying they could push it back a day. So sick are the players. Can you imagine that? How awful that environment would be. And you know what it's like if you're a parent when your kids get it. You're just dead man walking. You're just waiting to get the gastro. If you're the player, the other players who haven't got it, you're just waiting. You know you're going to get it. So I don't know. This is quite an extraordinary event. You can have a test. You can have a test postponed because of gastro. They've got no replacements. They're in Pakistan. What do they do, Brandy? Any advice there?
I don't know.
And you've got to wear whites.
Well, yeah, okay. It's not a good story.
It's not a good story.
We might leave that one
their breakfast.
There.
Yeah, okay. Yep. All right. 17.5 to 7 in New South Wales. 17.5 to 6 in Queensland. Michelle Bishop coming up with the sports update. No score in both of the matches at the moment. The battle to see who plays the Socceroos in the round of 16.
Nearly half-time in both these games. Saudi Arabia taking on Mexico and Poland doing battle with Argentina. Argentina have been very close to scoring a number of times, but it's still nil-all in both games. Now, we all love being with our family for Christmas. And like us, dogs want to be with the family too. So together with Greyhounds as pets, we're making it our mission to find a home for these dogs in time for Christmas. Greyhounds make great pets. Be listening over the next 3 weeks as we profile these special animals and help find them a home for Dogmas.
Yes. Joel Cain will be coming on the program later. We'll catch up with him. He's got six or seven at the moment. He's looking after things. We'll see where we go with that at 11.5 minutes to 7 New South Wales, 11.5 minutes to 6 Queensland. Michelle Bishop with a sports update. Was in fine form yesterday. I think she's going to hit the mark again today. But we start off, first of all, concern for an absolute icon of football. Michelle, good morning.
Good morning, guys. The winner of 3 World Cups, of course, Pelé. He's one of the greatest footballers or soccer players to grace the planet. I was actually reading up on some of his history, and at 17 years of age, he scored a hat-trick on the world stage. As I say, just 17 in a semi-final against France, and I guess that's where people sort of started to look and take notice. But he's 82 now. He's been taken to hospital battling cancer and a few other medical complications, including hip surgery and, unfortunately, heart failure. It appears the cancer stopped responding to chemo, and he's now at the point where he's mentally confused, very restless, and of course unwell. Now, his daughter has put a message on social media saying she actually plans to visit the hospital. She's away at another country by New Year's because her brothers are there by his bedside in Brazil. So there's no emergency at this stage. You know, they're not sort of getting all concerned, but he is definitely not well, and they don't expect things to change dramatically, you know, sort of before Christmas. But really sad to see such a champion. He is 82 years of age, but he's been battling some ill health for quite some time now.
All right, Michelle. Now we move on from that. This text leads into your next story from Outback Jack. He says, V&B and Bisho, Brandy, I hope next year the Blues play a hell of a lot better than what the 2023 Origin jersey looks like, because it's bloody woeful. Tommy Turbo didn't look overly impressed modelling it yesterday, as Gus would say. No, says Outback Jack. Michelle Bishop with a story.
Yeah, guys, Westpac has taken over the naming rights sponsorship for the New South Wales Blues, of course, from Brydens, who did an enormous job over a lengthy period. It's a four-year deal.
Years,
it's worth
Brydens.
Eight. There you go. This is a four-year deal worth $8 million, so $2 million per year, and it's for the men's and the women's, of course. Tom Trbojevic and Emma Tonegado, they were there for the announcement yesterday wearing the new strip. They arrived on the Westpac chopper, so it was all very exciting. But the big Westpac emblem, I guess, that splashed across the jersey hasn't gone down well with fans. They're not happy. I'm just going to read a couple of comments. Is this some sort of joke? What the hell is that? That's disgusting, horrible, and awful, ugly, ain't no alibi for that. It's like we're asking to lose. When the person designing the jersey outsources it to Wish And this new look, that's a look of disappointment. So the fans aren't happy. I don't mind it, guys. I mean, you know, they're whacking up. They're stumping up 8 million. It's big. You won't miss it. It'll be on everything. But, you know, the money will go towards, obviously, the Blues and you know, what they want to do. And obviously, a lot of their sort of development and grassroots academy projects. So it is what it is.
Alan Border. Yeah. It's the way of the world. It's the way of the world. Okay, if I'm talking about the fashion sense, I'm not a fan. I don't know why you'd put the two little navy hoops on, the thin little lines. I don't know what the point of that is, fashion-wise, just to be different. But because it's so body-hugging now, we you know, it's not the rugby league jersey. It looks more just a strip, not necessarily rugby league jersey.
And it kind of stretches, so it's even bigger on
very
the bigger lads,
tight,
or the
aren't
bigger
they?
Players.
They have to squeeze them on, but yeah. It's a great sponsorship. It really is. And there's certainly synergy there with Westpac being
absolutely.
The oldest Australian company. Used to be the Bank of New South Wales. Yeah. So it's a great sponsorship.
No,
we can't do without them.
Yeah, New South Wales having Bryden's Lawyers, having Westpac, having, you know, a couple of great organisations backing them. So, well done. By the way, I'm wearing a jersey today of Workington Town, but it's got an old-fashioned collar, Brandy. You see that? It's got a collar.
Is it?
See?
I like the collar.
Yeah, old
yeah,
collar
looks
on
good.
The jersey.
You
yeah.
could wear that
I've got
out.
A West Tie. I've got a, well, Balmain Alpha Mica, and it used to be slim riding. Now it's thick as well. So that's just happened over the years.
Right, okay. Michelle, back at
7:45
with the next sports update. Well done. This is Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy. We're going to find out how Tom Petrovsky spent the Socceroos Denmark game. Any news out of the Denmark financial markets? We'll find out in a moment.
The Psycho Shark says they had players from Barcelona, Manchester United, Tottenham, Hotspur and AC Milan. We had players from the Central Coast Mariners, Adelaide United and Melbourne City. Dare to Dream Australia. Bring on next Monday, 6 a.m. and the round of 16. I'm thinking the Danish stock market has taken a nosedive. Now, the only man that can fill us in is Tom Petrovsky from Comsys.
Yes.
Tommy.
Well, Brandy, it's a good observation. Soccer isn't the only input into market sentiment, but the Copenhagen OMX has risen for the last 9 days. It was up 0.8% overnight. It might take a bit of a knock on the back of what the Danes could come up with this morning. So, yeah, we're almost a bit like the Bad News Bears of the World Cup. Do you remember that with that film with Walter Matthau and Tatum O'Neill?
Classic. Absolute classic. You know what? It would be like the Australian rugby league team being knocked off by, oh, I don't know, Fiji. No, actually, worse than that. No, can you imagine how the Danish people are feeling today when they know that they've been knocked off by players out of the local league from Australia? Unbelievable.
Don't even know where we are on a map. Don't even know where the country is on a map.
No. Yeah.
They wouldn't. They'll be looking up the atlas this morning, right, I would say. But in terms of the market, we're going to kick off with a decent improvement this morning, up by about 0.5% overnight. The head of the U.S. Federal Reserve suggested that the central bank might moderate its pace of rate hikes, and the markets love that sort of thing. So we're off to the races as far as the U.S. markets are concerned. The S&P 500 up by 1.7%. We had some lower inflation numbers yesterday, that was helpful as well. So it's probably setting up to be a reasonable day today. The Aussie dollar is firming up a little bit as well. It's currently trading at 67.8 US cents.
Great, Tommy.
Well done, Tom.
Grant the Panther says, do you think Princess Mary is privately chuffed with the result? I think she'd be more than chuffed. She'd be calling Frederick a loser, you losers,
and
run around the castle, Aussie, 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 oi, oi, oi.
Like just, Aussie, Aussie, Aussie,
just
oi, oi,
going
oi, oi,
off.
That's... Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah, we need to get her on. Or can we get a Princess Mary impersonator or just someone saying it's Princess Mary to get them on the open line? I want to hear how it's going there. Look, this is the day that Australia has qualified for the final 16 at the World Cup. We're still to learn our opponent. The match we need to know about now next is 6 a.m. Sunday, Australian Eastern Daylight Savings Time. SEN coverage of it. How good is it? SEN, we've got coverage of the Test cricket again. We're starting at midday today, where Australia will resume at 2 for 293 with Labuschagne and Smith at the crease. But the World Cup coverage has been outstanding, and this was a hell of a moment this morning when Matt Leckie put the Aussies in front of Denmark.
And Australia will try and get it away. And they've got some space here. McGree plays it into the feet of Lecky. Lecky's one-on-one. Gets to the edge of the box. Cuts around. Back to his left. Lecky strikes!
Yes!
Matthew Lecky! Matthew Lecky has put the Socceroos in front. The path to the round of 16 becomes clearer for the green and golds.
That is a big giddy up. Then there are a billion texts there. Went from a million to a billion. 0457736736. Graham Arnold, stuff the haters. What a morning. There's a short, sharp, concise text right there for Graham Arnold. Morning, VB. What a great win by the Socceroos. I'm going to smash a Danish pastry to celebrate. From Jace. That's a great idea. We should
Good
all go out and
Jace.
Have Danish pastries today and post it on media and let the Danes, they're being savaged by their media over there, embarrassing just getting a word. They're getting hammered, the Danes.
Yeah, they would be. Just on Tom Petrovsky's cross this morning, Danny says, what movie? Question mark, question mark. What the hell is Bad News Bears? Mm. Do you remember that one?
Bad News Bears? Wasn't that a sport movie? Bad News Bears? I'll have to Google it. Jeez, Google's answered everything. If you're bagging Tom Petrovsky, we can do it on another station. You should go and, you know, ring up another station.
Hey, everyone's oh, everyone's you think Tom's even criticism.
Tom's
everyone.
Fair game on there.
Even Tom. Even
wow.
Tom. Yep.
This one, Vossie and Brandy. I've travelled the country for this team. What a morning. What a team. Stuff the haters. Football is here. The Socceroos are here, says Maddie. So he's excited. That's how it should be.
Now, they're back on in the second half, Vossie. Argentina up against Poland. I've got a feeling Argentina have scored. Just watching as it unfolds. The world went off when Messi's scored a goal. Lecky's was better, says the Rooster man. That's in the back of the net. The Polish keeper came up with some extraordinary saves in the first half, but I don't think he's been able to get his hands on that one. It hits the post and goes into the net, and Argentina have scored.
Okay.
It's 1-0.
So we are looking at a table that if things remained as they stand, Argentina would finish top of the group on 6 points and would be our opponent. And we would have Poland actually still finish second, depending on what Saudi Arabia and Mexico do. But anyway,
because this game, if Poland are able to get a draw, if Poland are able to finish with a draw, Poland go through.
Yes,
Poland would go through on top of the unless
Saudi Arabia. That's right. We're working it out on the run. This one, you reckon Princess Mary's sticking it to the old man Prince Fred today? Tasmania 1, Denmark 0 from the Pearl. So Princess Mary getting a lot of love here on the program today. And just on Pakistan England series, maybe being delayed start today because of gastro. Kenny says, they are in the runs before a ball has even been bowled. Classic line, that one, says Kenny. Well done, Kenny, for that. 8.5 minutes after 7. Well, of course, the big story of the morning is the Socceroos. They are through to the round of 16, and we have former Socceroo Archie Thompson, member of the SEN expert FIFA World Cup team online. Well, of course, the big story of the morning is the Socceroos. They are through to the round of 16, and we have former Socceroo Archie Thompson, member of the SEN expert FIFA World Cup team online, a man who predicted in the coverage this morning a 1-0 win to the Socceroos. Archie, great to have you back on. What was the key to victory?
Oh, well, look, mate, I think we just started well. Okay, we knew that Denmark were going to come out and really put pressure on us because they needed to win. And we rode our luck a little bit at the start, but then once we got into the rhythm of the game, we were just disciplined in all areas. We didn't really give them too much time after that period to really allow them to play. And that just seemed to be the way throughout that whole game. It was always going to get tense towards the end there, but the boys are fantastic, like just incredible.
Absolutely sensational. And when you have a look at the stats, like they dominated possession. I know in soccer that can happen. You know, 60, nearly 70% of possession for Denmark. Mm. Some big saves. Matty Ryan in the 19th. He's had a great tournament. And the other man that's, well, his stocks have risen through the roof, Harry Suter in the 88, that blocked goal. Like, there's some incredible efforts.
Oh, amazing. Like, everyone stood up. I mean, Milos Deganek, he was someone that hasn't started this World Cup, gets sort of thrown into that right wing, right back position. And, you know, a lot of the attacks were coming out wide early, so they had to be disciplined in that. And Harry Suter was a monster in that 18-yard box. Like, he stands about 3 metres tall, and so anything that was going to put in, an air, in the air, he was just chewing up. But I just loved the pressure and intensity all over the park. Like, when as soon as a Danish player got the ball, there was someone on him. As soon as he passed it to another one of his teammates, another soccerer was out there to close it down. So, look, it had to be like that. It had to be where we had to find a nice balance. We knew that we were going to defend. And the way that the other result was going, we needed to win this one. Like, that was it. Because we were expecting France to kind of maybe do a number on Tunisia. But they started a team without, I mean, they're all superstars, but without their sort of key players in that starting 11. So we knew that we had to win. And It was just an incredible performance. It was a performance of belief, confidence, a bit of hope that Graham Arnold has driven into this side, even when the Australian public had maybe lost a bit of that. But you just have to see scenes here at Fed Square. It's insane.
Yes, we have seen the vision from there. Look, one other one for you, Archie. And it might be too early to put this in the context of all-time Socceroos, but off the top of your head, where does this win rate?
Oh, mate, it's right up there. Like, it's right up there. We when you look at 2006, when we last progressed to the final 16, we only won one of those games and drew one, and then drew two and lost one. And this one, we've sent a weaker side, and we've won two in the group, and we're equal points with France. And we've got a real good opportunity. Whoever we face in with the other games being played, we've got a realistic opportunity. I don't want to jump ahead of myself, and this is what us Aussies do, right? Whenever we have a great sporting moment or someone just blows our mind with their performances, we immediately think, okay, they're going to do this, they're going to do that. But we should think realistically there's a chance, because no one gave us any hope of progressing through this group stage after that France performance, but we just seem to be getting better and better. We're cutting out some of those mistakes that we had made in the first game, and it's slowly starting to get better and better. I rate this up there with, maybe even that qualification in 2005 even that 2006 World Cup. Like, I really feel like that's there. And you know what? This group of players are making their own history, which is because I feel like all these soccer teams get put up against that 2006. Well, why not now that teams go on in the future get put up against this 2022 team? Because they've just been amazing. Like, I'm really, really proud of Arnie.
We're all buzzing, Archie. We're all buzzing. And I thought, I must say, on the SEN coverage, and the vibe was coming, bursting out of, I was listening on the app, that you summed it up beautifully. You said the simplicity of the role. Everyone knows their job, and you go out and try to do your job to the best of your ability. That's the crux of what Graham Arnold has sent across this side. Archie, you are buzzing. We'll let you get, you're watching the games. You won't be getting any sleep right away. But thank you again for coming on the program, mate. It's great that we celebrate yet another Socceroos win.
Amazing. Cheers, mate.
Yes, from Archie Thompson. You asked if we could get in touch with Princess Mary of Denmark. Well, we did. Very big news. While we're speaking to Archie, she's called us off air. We've taken a call off air from Princess Mary. We've just managed to speak with her. Charlie Goodson did the interview and got a reaction to this morning's live side of Denmark. This is an exclusive.
It was wow. The sight looking out over the balcony was extremely beautiful. The mix of Danish and Australian flags was a very nice feeling.
Is that the best we got? There you go. That's exclusive. Charlie Goodson with Princess Mary. Is that the question? What else? Did he ask her anything else? Yeah, he'd be giving it to them.
You've got to take what you can get, Fossey.
All right, that was turned around very quickly. Andy B says, I would love to see the Grey Wiggle get us into the last eight. This is what we were talking about earlier. See, Mr. Redmayne, now you get down to the knockout stage, penalty shootouts come into play, and that's the only way he's going to get any game time. Is destiny there that he makes an appearance Sunday morning about 10 to 8, penalty shootout, or 8 o'clock, roundabout. But 6 a.m. coverage, Sunday, morning off, up early, SEN coverage, it's going to be so good. And the test cricket today from midday, the test coverage yesterday was so good. Best radio coverage I've ever heard of cricket. Engaging with the audience, entertaining, great storytelling. And now we get to an emotional moment at 16 after 7. We'll get back to your texts in a moment on 0457 736 736. But for the last time in 2022, we go to this man.
And now on Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy, the back page with Michael Carayannis.
Michael, good morning. Just before we go to you, Mexico have scored again. So they lead 2-0 over Saudi Arabia, and Argentina still up 55 minutes into the game, 1-0 against Poland. MC, your last cross for the year. It's been a good one.
Yes. Well, thanks, Brandy. Yes, last one. But, it's been a good year. I've enjoyed it. So hopefully we're back again doing it next year.
Yes. Now, the front page of the Telegraph today, some young dragons. Just tell us about this story, attacked on their way to training.
Yeah, horror story here. So, obviously, the escalating situation in terms of turf war in Western Sydney took an ugly turn last week, where six Dragons players, young rising Dragons players, Harold Matthews players, so they're 16, 17-year-olds, got off the train at Cabramatta wearing their school uniform. And because they were in a school uniform from Blacktown, they were set upon by this group at the train station. And they were told, what are you doing here? Why are you wearing this? You're not welcome here. And the group tried to de-escalate the situation by saying simply, no, we're just going to training. We've got nothing to do here. We're just walking to training. That's what we're doing. Because the Dragons were training at Cabramatta that day, and they were set upon with a knife. Luckily, no one was seriously injured. One of the players sustained a black eye, but naturally they were shaken up. But it's just a reality check of what's actually occurring in parts of Western Sydney at the moment.
Yeah, postcode wars, fair dinkum. Now, just horrible stuff, horrible and scary stuff there. For those young men. Now, we move on. Tommy Turbo was part of the New South Wales jersey launch, but we're not talking about the jersey specifically here. He was pretty emphatic about his loyalty to the Manly club yesterday, Michael.
Yep, put to bed any whispers, any suggestions, any doubts that he wasn't committed to the Seagulls. Long term, he said, I want to stay here for as long as the club wants me. I've got another 4 years. So, there's obviously the swirling suggestions that the Trbojevic brothers were unhappy. And there's no doubt they were. They were frustrated by the goings-on at Manly and the lack of sustained success that the club was having. But I don't think they were really ever going to walk out the door. And Tommy has put to bed that follows what Jake said a couple of weeks ago while in England, that he didn't want to leave the club. So, those two boys are Manly, and it'd be very strange for them to play elsewhere. But I think as long as Manly get their house in order off the field, those boys will be there for the rest of their careers.
Of course they will. They were never going to leave. And while frustrated and probably disappointed with the goings-on, it's not something that they're unaccustomed to. Manly seem to be lurching from one to the other, but anyway, yeah. So
I think that's the issue, Brandy. That was the issue, though, that they'd finally got to a stage where they thought, well, particularly Jake wants to win a premiership. And there was no doubt running through his mind, am I going to be able to win a comp with everything that's going on at Manly? There's no doubt they had these thoughts, but you're right. It wasn't escalated enough to the point where
Ryan Pappenhausen. Now, his injury was a shocking one. Clashed knees with Jack Whiten late last year. Shattered his kneecap. How's he faring?
He's still not at full training yet in terms of running. He's hopeful to get there before Christmas, but which is still a little bit of a concern in terms of when you're looking into next season and whether he can hit the ground running for the start of the year. Look, he's not in any doubt really to start the year, but any minor setback would delay that return, but he's expected to start full running before Christmas.
Okay, well, that's good. It'd be good to see him back on the field.
Now, do we have a favourite moment, Michael, from the year for you? You became a father. You've had a big year. I mean, you've loved talking rugby league, and you do it 24/7 just about in your world. But becoming a dad, the big moment, how good has it been?
Yeah, it's been great. It's been great, and it's good to the off-season where you can spend a bit more time at home and you're not running around as much. It's great to spend a little time with my little girl.
Now,
I think there's too many big moments. There's, yeah. There's too many big MC moments through the year to just pick one.
Oh, the music special. Yeah. But has she got any little rugby league gear yet? Has she got the little beard in the team colours?
Yes. Little dragons. A little bit of Brandy would like this. My in-laws are mad Panthers fans and got her a little Penrith jersey, but that won't sit a lot of day.
Oh. Nice. We'll have words about that when we bump into each other. I know this is your last cross, but we will hear your voice over the summer.
Yes. I'll be part of the B team, C team, whatever team it will be. But yes, I'll be a bit of co-hosting around Boxing Day. So should be a bit of fun. Plenty of cricket. Hopefully a bit of footy around.
Oh, City to Hobart. Mike Carriana's fantastic. One of our listeners said their favourite moment of the year with you was the morning that the dog was barking in the background and we said, are you at Jai Arrow's house?
That was your way. I lost that. That was one of your best bosses. Well, that was outstanding.
There we go. All right, yes. Michael, thank you for your input, mate. Good man. And enjoy a bit of family time, mate. It's great to have you on the
program.
We love you, Michael. We love you, Michael.
Thanks, guys. Love you, mate. Bye.
Love you too, Andrew.
Yes. Thank you, Greg. 22 after 7.
Say yeah, nah to Qatar and yes to Sportsbet, the easiest place to bet this World Cup. Gamble responsibly. Joel Kane, did he tip us into a multi-Tunisia into the Socceroos yesterday? He could have. Jolly, good morning.
With the Greyhounds.
Boys, I did not tip you specifically that. Watch the moon dog. Sit down. Now, I tell you what I did say, though. Socceroos were a 30% chance to qualify, to go through. Well, to go through the way they did, I've crunched the numbers, they were a less than 2% chance to go through with Tunisia winning. So with Tunisia winning and the Socceroos winning, that was a less than 2% chance. So forget about the odds. They're $326 to take the whole thing out. Dreams are free. You never know. We also spoke about yesterday how only 7 Socceroos ever had scored a World Cup goal. Well, that moves to 8, of course, on the back of Matt Leckie. Now, Bruce alert here, boys. Brucing alert. Now, a lot of people are saying, oh, yeah, we're lucky. He kicked it between the legs. Now, you may recall I used to do my goal kicking with Graham Arnold. And he would do that all the time with the ball, mucking around with us so easily, putting it through people's legs. So people say it's a fluke. I don't believe it was. They know exactly what they're doing, these boys.
All right, there you go. Joel Kane. That is quite a yarn. Argentina have scored again. So they're on their way. The way it is looking, you'll be framing a market at Sportsbet, Argentina v the Socceroos. Because there was still a chance that Argentina could miss out altogether if Poland had pulled one back, but going to be hard from here. Joel, it's all Socceroos, but it's also all cricket. Now, how do you get some good markets for us to get us interested around what could potentially happen today with Labuschagne and Smith to return to the crease? I'm thinking if Pat Cummins said bat all day, these two would bat all day.
Absolutely. So I reckon the best way to go about it, look, Australia $1.06, $10.50 the draw, Windy $61. But to give you an idea, that's about 2%. That's a chance that Socceroos did last night. So Sportsbet BYO, there are so many markets involving Manus Labuschagne to score 200-plus runs. That's $1.80, talking about what you got. There's many batsmen who haven't yet come to the crease. Travis Head, Carey to each score 25-plus. That's all your BYO markets. Plenty there, but just back to the soccer as well, boys. The Golden Boot's up, so that's the most goals in the tournament. Mbappe's $4, Messi $6. There's a big game tonight, and I might be a little bit invested in Germany here. Spain take on Japan. Now, for Germany to be any chance of qualifying, really they need Spain to beat Japan, and then they need to go about their business, which they should, against Costa Rica. But that's a massive game tonight for the context of Germany and their hopes of a big chance to win this thing. Spain have to beat Japan. But there you go.
Jolly, how was your day off? And another one coming today.
Oh, mate, it is. I started a show called Pepsi, Where's My Jet? Have you seen that?
No.
Pepsi, so, Where's long story, My Jet?
Is that what it's long called? Story short, many years ago, Pepsi had this competition where if you had so many points that you get off the label of a Pepsi, you could cash it in to buy a carton of Pepsi. You could get all these certain little T-shirts and merchandise. And they jokingly put up and a Harriet jet if you got 7 million points. But they didn't put any disclaimers. So this guy set upon it to get 7 million, and then he finds himself trying to claim the jet. Pledge put me on it, actually. So if you're looking for Netflix, Pepsi, Where's My Jet, boys, it's an absolute beauty. I only just started it.
How many episodes? Is it just one? Is it just a documentary, or what is it?
I don't know, Vossie, actually. I was quite tired when I put it on, but... they're doing a good job with some of these docos, aren't they?
So a bloke just sitting around drinking Pepsi. You watch that?
you get into that today and maybe give us an update tomorrow. Maybe you can tell us.
I'll give you an update tomorrow. There you go.
Good stuff.
All right, well, you look after those dogs, Joel. It is Dogmas here, greyhounds as pets, and you've got your hands full, so you go give them some breakfast. You're doing a great job, mate. You're doing a great job.
See you,
mate.
Bye. See you, boys.
Yeah, say yeah, nah, to Qatar, and yes to sports bet, the easiest place to bet this World Cup. Gamble responsibly. A reminder, our cricket coverage here on SEN resumes today at midday, day two of the first test, Australia and the West Indies. Thank you, Vanessa. SEN coverage of the FIFA World Cup has been outstanding, and every game, but the next big one for the Socceroos, just locking it in, Eddie. 6 a.m. Sunday, Socceroos to play. More than likely, it is Argentina. By the way, Joel mentioned the program, so Pepsi, Where's My Jet? What a great name for a documentary. On the text, we've got 4 episodes. The Pepsi show is a cracker. There you go. Thank you for the recommendation. I have no time to watch things, but that sounds pretty good. So can I help me out on the technical world? Mm-hmm. I can download that onto my device and then watch it at another time. Can you do that if you've got a Netflix account?
Are you asking our listeners or me?
Because... Well, I'm asking you, Brandy. I'm asking you, Mr. No. Don't even stump up $60 for a Signet power bank.
Yeah, that's got nothing to do with my knowledge of technology, which is zero.
All right. Okay,
so I don't know.
Thumbs up, Ben, Charlie, the smart guys on the team and the leadership team. This one, Postcode Wars, kids carrying on like thugs, absolute D-heads who got rid of the cane. No common courtesy or discipline anymore. Look, yeah, there's the Telegraph website too. Got vision of this fight at a bus stop and all this sort of stuff. But Postcode Wars, I mean, seriously? Yeah.
What rubbish. Absolute rubbish. Morning, VB. The way Pat... JL and the rest of the Aussie cricket team handled themselves yesterday was absolute class. Vossie, you will be correct. Watch all of these old fossils start supporting the team again after saying they are on the nose.
Mm.
Bunch of haters. Will the Wagga Bulldog. Haven't we got some audio of Justin Langer commenting about what happened out in the middle where players were shaking his hand, giving him a hug? Let's listen. We're gonna. Michelle's got a little bit of that action.
Okay.
So we'll keep our powder dry.
Pull that back quickly there. That'll come up at 7:45. Michelle Bishop's sports update. Now this one, boys. Now who's officially the worst team? Queensland 2021 State of Origin team or the Socceroos? We were told both as bad as each other. There you go. So there's an observation. Well, the first game, you know, the sky fell. The 4-1 loss to France, and we tried to temper things by saying, well, we are there. Just, again, a reminder, Italy aren't at this World Cup. You know, you talk about qualification and all the rest, but they're not there. Now Australia's into the final 16. Denmark, you are our sons. I just called up and quit my job and said, Brandy said you are all flogs and go on the Socceroos, Rooster Man. So you've influenced. You're an influencer, Brandy. Rooster Man's just told his bosses they're flogs. He's on the day off.
Well, Rooster Man can do that. He just sits outside the square of anyone else. He's his own man, and obviously taking things into his own hands too.
Mm.
Yeah. Don't forget, boys, not only two wins, but two clean sheets. Yes, Serbian Seagull, that's right. Mm. 1-0 against Tunisia, 1-0 against those Danes who just must be... They're no one flying home to Denmark, would they? None of those. They'll just go back to their own clubs. They'll stay clear of home.
Breakfast with Fosse and Brandheim in Denmark is a dark place today. They're not taking, you know, Gary of Newtown drinking up, or Gary of Newtown... Esk or something or other. He's ringing up giving his analysis, a breakdown that, you know, in big games on World Cup stages, you've got to kick long, kick early.
But where that's what's that, going like, on in Denmark. In terms of where that's sat as a loss for Denmark, like that, like that, they are they've got players playing in the best leagues around the world.
Yeah.
And just couldn't get it done against a group of players that our biggest, like I guess, like Celtic. We have got players out of the Scottish Premier League. I don't know where that sits in terms of leagues around the world. But, that, you know, we've got Bundesliga 2, the J-League 2, the second division. And that's like championship players and A-League players. Like that's our team made up of. And we're playing against players from... Spurs and Manchester United and Barcelona and players in the German Bundesliga, and they would be beside themselves in
You're
Denmark.
Suggesting Netflix doco here. I think Socceroos have to come up with a title on if it keeps on going. Denmark, by the way, had beaten France twice this year and were ranked 10th in the world. John of Harrington Park is on the McDonald Jones open line. Let's go there right now. John, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bossy, Brandy. How are you going?
John,
boys, I should be ringing up about the soccer because how good, brilliant result. But with the jerseys for New South Wales, aren't we playing into the Queenslanders' hands? All these years they've thought New South Wales were wankers, and now we've got the W on the front to prove.
Oh, well, that's heavy. Yeah. That's heavy. That's John. Are you sure you want to guys, you want to go out there with that?
I can also say, guys, that there's a bit of symmetry because wasn't Westpac the Bank of New South Wales?
It was.
Yes, correct.
So there you go.
Are you saying to some creative in Queensland, if New South Wales lost the opening game next year, they would restructure the Westpac logo into an L, red L on their front? It's not the W, it's the L.
Mm. It could be.
Looking forward to that happening.
Great call.
Can't wait.
Great call,
that.
John.
Johnny,
clever, John.
Good to talk.
Always good to talk. This one, boys, I hope the first newborn born boy today in Oz is named Frederick. Remember, they are our sons. There we go. We're going more on the Princess Mary and Denmark royal family jokes. Good stuff. As we head to the break, here's Vanessa with Sydney's traffic.
Vossi, we're watching these games very closely because if Mexico, who now lead Saudi Arabia 2-0, can score another goal, they will jump Poland and go into the round of 16. If Argentina score another goal against Poland, the same thing will happen. Mexico will go through. So we're down to the 83rd and 85th minute in both those games, and that will determine who wins, who finishes and goes through from Group C.
They're pretty amazing because Mexico last in the group going into today's matches and Poland were first in the group going into today's matches and one could knock out the other. Now, Michelle Bishop with a sports update, been in outstanding form this week. And Brady, you mentioned the Justin Langer appearance yesterday at the first Test Australia and the West Indies. Michelle has more on that right now, Michelle.
Good morning, guys. What happened to the Great Divide? For anyone who was expecting to tune in and see Langer use his new position to square up, it didn't happen. It was all very cordial, very public handshakes, hugs, and even a big embrace for Pat Cummins. Langer played his part perfectly. And look, you know, the bit we were all expecting, you know, some sort of fireworks, some sort of animosity. But let me set the scene. Optus Stadium, Langer with his former troops about to take on the West Indies. The Oval, of course, where Langer has a stand named after him. Here he is on Channel 7 alongside former captain Ricky Ponting and, of course, Matthew Hayden.
said it all along. They're like my little, brothers, and there was a lot of media hype about over the last week or so, and it literally, perspective and reality, it was exactly how I expected it to be, Tim. And that's the truth. I mean, I was with the guys for 4 years. I loved every minute of coaching Australia. We celebrated together. We came back from Sandpaper Gate together. We came back through COVID together. We won the World Cup. We won the Ashes together. So these are, I've got great relationships with every one of these guys. So there's a lot of build-up to it, but it's exactly how I was expecting it to be today.
Oh, you almost want to cry.
Yeah, he's done it. There
good stuff. Good.
Guys, look, talking throughout the commentary as well, like throughout the day, he, you know, brought up some fond memories of what he'd had at the helm of the Australian cricket team over the last 4 years. And it was really interesting to see how Seven used him. I'm obviously not paid enough to know what his brief was there at Seven. But they also obviously took advantage of his intel, you know, being in that inner sanctum. He wasn't used for the casual lunchtime chat with Andrew McDonald, which, you know, you can understand why. But he did take part in an interview with Usman Khawaja, and we know they share a fantastic relationship. So it was all, you know, all built up to be nothing, really.
Yeah, I'm glad. I'm glad it went that way. Rory McIlroy has said Greg Norman should be stepping down. Now Tigers, he's backed it up.
Yeah, guys, the LIV Golf PGA Tour feud continues to bubble along. Look, Tiger Woods has often been accused of being vanilla. You certainly can't accuse him of that at this stage of the game when it comes to LIV Golf. He wants Greg Norman to go away and find a hole. He didn't actually say that, but that's basically what he was talking about. He was host of this week's Hero World Challenge. He's actually withdrawn. He's got some issues with his foot. But he was actually asked the question if he believes the two sides can come to a resolution, a happy place, put it all behind him and get on with the job, and this is what he had to say.
But I think Greg has to go, first of all, and then obviously the litigation against us and then our countersue against them. Those would then have to be at a stay as well. So then we can talk. We can all talk freely.
So from that, I take it that, you know, there is some level of positivity, but he did leave with a bit of a sting, and I wanted to say this. He said he summed it up by saying that LIV has spent close to $2 billion this year. They'll spend $4 or $5 billion next year. It's an endless pit of money, but that doesn't necessarily create legacies. Ouch.
Wow. That $7 billion in a couple of years. Incredible. Mexico have legacy. Just scored, by the way. Sorry,
oh,
Michelle.
Hang on a second. Hang on
Mexico
a second.
Have just scored to go 3-0, I
no,
think.
No, Brandy, you got it. You just got to cool your jets.
Offside.
Offside. It was awarded, or they were celebrating. They were celebrating and then disallowed. There we go. Ooh. Michelle, I can't wait for 8:45. I think it's going to be big, really big.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it too. Talk then, guys.
Thanks, Michelle.
What about this text? Australia, the Lecky country. The Lecky country. A lot of Matt Lecky. Very clever.
Yes.
What about you, Hans, going from... off here? I reckon you were showing your Mexican... Is there a bit of... Remember the trip to Mexico, to Meo with the village people that time, the sale of the century? Is
Soft
there
spot.
Something more we need to know about your association with Mexico?
Soft
Are you
spot.
Part of a cartel
well,
or something?
I don't know why I'm going for Mexico. I just well, they were sitting last. They're on 1 point coming into this final, the third
the
game
bus.
Of the pool stage. There's no Mexican blood in me, by the way, Vossi, but Hans from Copenhagen here, says our... Yeah. Hans from the text. You don't play long ball in a pressure game. They also forgot to kick low and kick early. Mm. I'm off down to drown my sorrows with a cinnamon scroll and a Carlsberg.
Nice. Yeah. That is the Danish Gary of Newtown equivalent. This one, a bit controversial about the cricket. We've got coverage starting again at midday today. Nice batting by Marnus, but 150 against the West Indies now is not really a 50 against the Windies of old. Do you agree with that? Is that you're saying that's the difference?
Well, I understand what he means, but I don't know how you quantify it and come up with runs. The Langer story, you built this up too bad, it backfired on news, says the text. Did you build it up? Did you want to punch on? Did you want them to, you know...
Did you want, no, I've just said...
Did you want Justin Langer to get Pat in a headlock and sort of twist his ears and go...
That'd be nice. And pull his ears or something. He'll do something to him. But I'm thinking, no, all of my advice was to Justin Langer. I'd just say I've moved on and don't comment on it anymore. That's my advice to Justin Langer.
Well, I think what he said yesterday and after everyone publicly saw what happened on the field and shaking hands, hugs, that will be the end of it. Thank God.
There we go. Yep.
And yeah, Vossie, you're a clickbait journalist, mate.
Yeah, you're clickbait. Just... That's right. We are clickbaities. but no, we're the baiters. We're the baiters. And if you click it, you are the baitee. This one, hi, boys, love the show. Now that we have beaten number 30 and number 10 in the world rankings, we are 38th. Where will we sit now, Gaz? I've got no idea. They don't update the rankings during the World Cup, but there'll be something come out there and obviously we'll go up a bit. But I don't know how they work about.
Yeah. Well, here's someone that's looking at it through completely different eyes. I can't wait until Argentina give Australia a good old-fashioned spanking so we can stop all this rubbish soccer sport. It's Australia. Let's stick to rugby league, says Rooster Adam. Rooster Adam, come on, mate.
It's hardly getting into the spirit of things, is it?
No.
Come on.
It's very negative, Rooster Adam.
Oh, look, I tell you what, we're going to have to deliver here to Adam. Now, mate, this is what you get from us. This is our...
You are the weakest link. Goodbye.
Damn, you've been put in the pit. The weakest link pit. 6.5 minutes to eight. We're into stoppage time, both games now. More in a moment. Thursday morning, this is the morning Australia has qualified for the round of 16 at the FIFA World Cup. And if you were up early listening to the SEN coverage, you would have been up and bouncing around when you heard this.
And Australia will try and get it away, and they've got some space here. McGree plays it into the feet of Leckie. Leckie's one-on-one, gets to the edge of the box, cuts around, back to his left. Leckie strikes!
Yes!
Matthew Leckie has put the Socceroos in front. The path to the round of 16 becomes clearer for the green and gold.
Matthew Leckie joins the list of Australian goal scorers. Now, we had Archie Thompson on the program earlier, and we put it to Archie, where does it rank now? That win over Denmark all time, and, you know, Archie, it was pretty hard because he was still coming down off cloud nine, but put it right up there. I mean, the qualification game 05 for the 06 World Cup, it's got to be in top five all time. Australia beating Denmark 1-0, given the pressure, given the star-studded lineup. Brandy, you've made the point many times about this. Denmark side kept a clean sheet under all those things. The pressure, just amazing. And now we can confirm. So 6 a.m. Sunday morning, Australia will play Argentina for a place in the quarterfinals. Argentina beating Poland this morning 2-0. Poland have squeaked through despite that loss. Mexico beating Saudi Arabia 2-1, but not good enough to qualify for the round of 16. Just one goal difference there. So 6 a.m. SEN, you can tune in on Sunday morning, and you can also tune in at midday today, Brandy, for the cricket. I'm going to get you to look into your crystal ball right now. Manus Labuschagne and Steve Smith on fire. And Manus has been dropped twice, but Steve Smith looks like he's got a double hundred in him. And I reckon things could get ugly very quickly today. Smith not out 59, Labuschagne on 154. Make a prediction. How big is that partnership going to go?
Well, I think Marnus gets to 200, and I think Smith will get 100. What happens after that, Vossie? Not too sure, but we've still got batsmen to come in. Will we bat for most of the day and score 600 runs, and then retire? That's what I'm seeing: 550, 600, retire, bowl them twice.
Okay. Well, I'm seeing double century, Steve Smith. Steve Smith.
Well, yep, that could be right. Now, Steve Smith was the pick for the most runs of the series, wasn't he? Mm. Josh Hazlewood, wicket taker, top wicket taker. Steve Smith,
from Damien
Fleming, most runs from Flem. And, well, he might... well, I think Marnus gets a double ton too. So maybe they stick around. Maybe it's these two all day. I don't know, but we will score 550, 600 runs before we retire. Muzz says, good morning, boys. $7. God bless the Socceroos. And the Pearl, at the beginning of the year, he says, boys, would anyone have thought Argentina would beat Australia in rugby and Australia beat Argentina in soccer? That's right, your own ticket. It's now a possibility.
Oh, giddy up, giddy up. Now, on the cricket front, there are Shield matches happening all around the country beginning today. New South Wales against Victoria at the Junction Oval in Melbourne. Tasmania playing South Australia. Queensland against WA. Now, the other big cricket that was due to get underway today, Pakistan and England. It is an incredible story. The England team has been savaged by a bout of gastro. Due to play Pakistan and Rawalpindi, 14 members of their squad, so players and staff, have come down with gastro. You can only think the others in the squad are dead men walking. They do not have enough players to start the test match. So a decision is going to be made in the next few hours whether the start of the test gets put back a day, but even then there might be doubts. So bad is the gastro. It's one of the worst stories I think I could ever... Sorry to those eating breakfast, but that's what's happened to the England cricket team. The poor old doctor who was there with them, he's also got it. So they're going down like flies, and they have allowed to time that they could push the test back a day, but I don't think they can do anything more than that because of the short gap before the start of the second test. But what an extraordinary set of circumstances.
Yes, it is. Yes, indeed. Matt says, why would we even listen to what Tiger has to say? Look at his off-course record. Yeah, I don't know, Matt. Well, Tiger's still got a pretty strong voice amongst the PGA. I'm loving the Mary stuff. Loyal listener Mary from Danish Palace here. I've been giving it to Frederick all morning. Sucked in Danes everywhere. I also may need Tommy P's help to manage the balance of my sports bet account.
Ah, nice. Yeah, right, Tommy P. Now, that's nice. Princess Mary, though, would have to tread a very fine line, wouldn't she? Like, you could gloat within the walls of the castle or whatever she lives.
Not
but
publicly.
Outside, you'd have to... Oh, no, you'd have to be... Straight
what
back.
About what about she? Yeah. She came out in the balcony and just gave up yours, Denmark. Yeah.
Shane Warne style with a stump above the head and a scarf, like with a Socceroo scarf. That would be a nice moment. That'd be very very Australian if she did that, probably not. But behind closed doors, the Frederick, he's just copping it, and so he should.
Frederick's in the fetal position in the corner. Yeah. Brandy, what do you think the difference is in percentage terms between the top and bottom ranked sides in a professional competition? E.g., Panthers, Tigers, NRL, I'd say 5%. Socceroos in Argentina, maybe similar. My opinion is it only takes the favourite having a slightly poor day and the underdog having a good day to see an upset. I agree. It doesn't... there's not much between the top and the bottom sides, really, when you think about it. Bad day, and you often say that Bossy, and if the team's off, you never know. Could be an upset coming.
Desire can beat talent many times over. Samuel of Central Coast listening through our racing network there. Watch the game at the Central Coast Mariners viewing party at Gosford RSL. Couldn't be any better place, would there? Awesome night. Go the Socceroos, stoked. Central Coast represent. I saw Andy Pascalides on social media. He watched it at the Sackville Hotel in Sydney, which is the home pub of Graham Arnold, and it was pandemonium there. My son Matt actually had to work at Bill Young's pub, the Palace. He was on something like a shift. He was starting at, I don't know, 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon, and the pub was staying open till 6 a.m. this morning for the Socceroos game. So that's a long shift.
How good.
The pub's everywhere. Again, Sunday. So what is the opening? So what's the rules around pubs and 6 a.m. on a Sunday morning? Can you suddenly just open a pub? Open everywhere for a 6 a.m.? Because that's the game, 6 a.m.
Yeah.
And if you want to watch it in that environment that's vibrant, get along to a pub to watch the game. How good's that?
I don't think there's any laws about stopping pubs opening when they want to anymore. There used to be, but I don't think they...
Might have to ring Billy up there and just ask him about that. Because if you can open, you'd be opening at 5 a.m., wouldn't you? For at least open 5 a.m. for people to come in and watch the game from 6 a.m. So that's all there. Lots of text coming through. We'll keep reading them all the way through. Of course, 0457 736 736. This one, fell out of bed again. Second time while I was dreaming. Second time in 2 weeks. I'm battered and bruised. Marty from Richmond. That's probably how a few people feel this morning. All right, 12 and a half minutes after 8. Let's go to the coalface right now. Adam Peacock, Code Sports and SEN host. Long way from the... I don't know whether he's getting any lawn mowing work over there in Doha, but he's on the line right now. Adam, how you doing?
Well, I know one thing, Bossy, after a few weeks here. there's not many lawns. It's all tough and everything. The best patches of grass.
Jim's mowing not going good in Nadara.
Old Wakra.
Yeah.
Well, no, Adam, there's no mowers club on a Saturday morning here on SC in Doha. So,
yeah, no, what a night, mate. There'd be another problem with the mowers club here. Too. I'm just thinking the mowers club. Nick Davis, how would Nick fare in Qatar?
Dangerous. I reckon he'd struggle because the only golf club in town charges $500 for a round. So Nick hasn't got that much money. So yeah, it's not exactly cheap. His favourite pastime.
No, I played with Nick at Twin Creeks, and he's a very good golfer. Now, can you believe what's happened? Like, really, it's a remarkable result.
Yeah, extraordinary, Brandy. One of the best things I've ever seen with my own eyes. I've been talking to someone else before, and the most joyous moments of my life were the four occasions that I helped. Well, I didn't do much, but I just watched four humans come and come into the earth. But that was verging on that in terms of an adrenaline rush and a moment of amazement. It was incredible, mate. It was a team that is so together. And like you always say it, and the great sides, even if they've got skill everywhere, they're still greater than the sum of all their parts. That's the old cliche. But this team, seriously, the sum of all their parts isn't very much, but it's a hundredfold in what they're able to come together and do together. It's extraordinary. It was something to behold tonight again.
It is one of the great examples. Sorry, Vossi, and we've been talking about this all morning. It is one of the great examples of the underdog winning, because when you go through that Denmark side that are ranked 10 in the world, and they have players right throughout their team that play in the top leagues around the globe, and our blokes are, you know, we've got a couple of Scottish Premier League players, we've got Championship players, so the second tier in England, second tier in Japan, second tier in Germany, and A-League players.
Yeah. I mean, it's an extraordinary imbalance when you look at where they are and what they are in terms of what they've done in their career. But the Danish system is a good one, and that their proximity to Europe, and once the word gets out about certain players, then it opens the door for everyone else. And this is what's going to happen with the Socceroos. Like, Harry Souter is going to go to the Premier League. These players who are playing in Scotland are going to be looked at closer. Like Tiano Backus, who's playing his first season in the Scottish Premier League, came on at half-time this morning and looked fantastic, looked completely at home. The Denmark side, they brought on a guy at half-time as the right-back substitute, and he's played 8 games in the Champions League for Benfica, one of the biggest clubs in Portugal this season. So these guys that they were playing against tonight were playing... he's on the bench. So they're playing these top level players who are just day in, day out in the best footballing environments in the world. And then we go and do that. It's amazing.
Giddy up. Now, I'm just going to say, can you isolate, if you want to put on a pedestal just some individuals this morning for their efforts, what they did this morning. You've already mentioned Harry Souter, what he did, and there was one great saving moment there. But a few individuals to pinpoint this morning, Adam, for their contribution to the win?
Yeah, Matt Leckie for the goal. I mean, that's the greatest goal I've ever seen with my own eyes. And I was lucky enough to see Timmy's one against the Netherlands in 2014. And for pure spectacular nature, that was unbelievable, the volley. But for what it meant and what he did and what he was going through, because in the first half, he looked gassed because he was gassed from the other night. He puts a lot of physical effort into everything that he does, Matt Leckie. And he looks, the gauge looks nearly on empty, but he gets the ball on halfway. And one-on-one with his defender makes him look like an idiot and scores the winner. So Matt Leckie, extraordinary. Ryland McGree looked like he belonged. As I said, Keanu Backus came off the bench. And as the game went on, and as soon as that goal went in, you thought, oh, what's left in the tank for all of the Socceroos after the huge effort against Tunisia? Everything lifted. It was amazing. For the next 15 minutes, they were much the better side. Unlucky not to get a second goal. They were creating... some real issues for the Danish, but in the end, then you look at the clock and you go, right, we've got something to defend here. And then invariably, the Danish turned it over and started to pepper Australia, but no real clear-cut chances. So Matt Ryan was outstanding, I thought, really dominant, catching crosses and dealing with what was coming his way. But hard to pick a bad one.
Yeah, that's a good point, but Adam, when you talk about, you know, and I think Graham Arnold, the preparation for this one, apparently the players did very little between the Tunisian game and this game, because because of how hard they have to work, because they aren't as talented individually as the teams that they're playing against, the work that they have to do in defence and the work that they, the miles that they have to cover to make sure that they are there whenever a ball is passed and whenever there is a threat, they've got to be there in numbers. And I think Arnold,
look,
Graham Arnold,
it's no different
deserves
to rugby league,
a big rap.
Hmm? Yeah, it's no different to rugby league with defensively in football.
Correct.
It's an attitude thing. It's a concentration and attitude. And yeah, you get the ball and you still have to concentrate and work your way through and use your brain and all of that. But with the defensive work that they were doing, that they didn't let themselves get tired by thinking, oh man, we're defending a lot. There was none of that body language that you saw. You saw that they were physically tired, but they were still making an effort. Like an instance in the 40th minute, Riley McGree got hit in the face by the ball. He blocked it with his face. It went in front of him. He chased it down. He came up with a bad cross. It was a tired looking cross. But then as soon as it turns over, he wasn't like, oh, I've got to get the airs. He was bang on his bike to try and get the ball back again. So, it was just sung of a team that knows what it's doing and knows what its cause is. And that's hard to find sometimes.
One last one, Adam, on the coach now, Graham Arnold. In the space of just over a week, the sky was falling at 4-1 against France in many people's opinion. Graham Arnold, I don't know what happens next for him, and he'll explore other opportunities, but wow, what a contrast to 1 week ago. He could write his own price down, couldn't he? As Socceroos coach, he couldn't.
Well, yeah, the contract is that it's up at the end of the tournament, whenever the tournament ends, and all of a sudden it's the greatest problem Graham Arnold's ever had in his life. It's the best position he's been contractually for a very long time. So yeah, he can not write his own ticket, but he's going to have some offers. Put it that way.
Yeah, great stuff. Adam, you enjoy it. So where do you celebrate? Just quietly, you know, just kick back, bowl of water or something? What are you doing?
No, you know me, Vossi. I'll be able to find a little cheeky little frothy somewhere. I'm just about to walk into a hotel full of 300 fanatics, actually. So, I'm going to have a few, but not too many.
You're sorted. Well done, Adam, and writing some brilliant pieces as well. Code Sports as well, Adam. Fantastic, some of the bits that you filed back here to Australia. So well done, mate. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, guys. Have a good morning.
Good on you, Adam.
Adam Peacock right there. That has just been something else. This one on the football side, wanting to know, can we work out the tally of what the Denmark players are on, their salaries as opposed to the Socceroos? That's homework for a listener, I think. I don't have time to go through and try and work out roughly what every player is on. But the short answer is it's big. It's a big difference.
Massive difference.
Thank you for the text. 21 after 8.
Pedro says on the text line, Vossi, can you please advise if there was a downturn in the candle business while you were gallivanting overseas?
No, very busy. Very busy. Oh, I'd like to be busier. A lot of people doing it tough in business at the moment, but that's for Tom Petrosky's business segment before 7 o'clock. This one, certainly no shortage of runs in the English cricket team. Sorry, that's a free hit. Cheers, Brad from Helensburg. Yeah, we've had that a few times. Poor old England against Pakistan.
Yeah, and this one, Rooster Man says, well, just Charlie, good sir, to work out the Denmark salaries. He's on it.
That's a good point. He's on it. That's a great
idea.
He's on
it already. Doesn't need to be told. That's initiative.
All right, so we'll give you the as close as we can to the dollar, the difference in salaries between Denmark and the Socceroos. Now, KFC Supercoach BBL is back at supercoach.com.au. We have Tim Williams, the KFC Supercoach BBL expert online. It's fine to really get serious. I mean, if you've been procrastinating for weeks, Tim is going to, you know, absolutely give you the good oil right now. Tim, welcome again to the program. Bargain buys to target this season. I've got pen at the ready. Fire away with a few names.
Yeah, g'day, Vossi. Brandy, thanks for having me back. We are honing in on the start to the Big Bash season, just about a couple of weeks away. So, boys, the cheapies are very, very important in nailing the your early season crop of bargain buys. Allows you allows you to spend up on your big guns like any other salary cap. So the couple that I'm eyeing off early on, and this is based on a cheapie being sub 80K to start the season, is quick bowler Harry Conway at the Adelaide Strikers. He's starting at 70K. Now, he's got a little bit of competition for quick bowling spots there. There is some depth over at the Strikers, but if he's named to play in round one, which looks likely, he'll have a dream role bowling at the death for the Strikers, the double game week. So lock him in if named to play round one. And then the other one there is Nick Larkin or Joe Burns. They're likely the beneficiaries at 62.5K due to the unfortunate freak injury to Glenn Maxwell. Either of them two are likely to get a top order spot over at the Melbourne Stars. So another team on that early double game week we spoke about earlier in the week, and whoever gets the number three or four spot there, I think you can lock them in as well.
Okay. Now, if you think you've got your cheapies down pat, who's your first player picked? Who's the gun?
Funnily enough, Brandy, it's probably on Supercoach, KFC Supercoach form, not the gun of the game, but Marcus Stoinis, off the back of a really poor tournament in BBL 11, is priced at $83,000. So just over that cheapy range, as we define it, but really, really cheap. So he averaged 28.8 last season, but diving back into the records, in BBL 10, he averaged 52.5. BBL 9, 64.5. Go back to BBL 8, he averaged 97 points across 13 games. So the big Stoin coming off a pretty big T20 World Cup is dirt cheap and should essentially be in 100% of teams. So while not necessarily that top dollar gun, when we look at value, Stoin's your man.
Okay, so he's cheap.
You've done well, Tim. As always, it is time to play Australia's best fantasy cricket game, KFC Supercoach BBL. Head to supercoach.com.au and we'll keep the good information coming. Thanks, Tim.
Cheers, boys. Thank you.
Well done. This is Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy. All your texts straight out of the news.
Vanessa, thank you. We're here for Bryden's Lawyers, unable to work due to injury or illness. Contact Bryden's Lawyers. You can have your say now on the text line 0457 736 or give us a call on the McDonald Jones open line 1300 01-1170, Andrew.
Yes, and Charlie Goods has that salary off the Denmark side in a moment, and the Socceroos. But first of all, we love being with our family for Christmas, and like us, dogs want to be with family too. So together with Greyhounds as Pets, we are making it our mission to find a home for these dogs in time for Christmas. Greyhounds make great pets. Be listening over the next 3 weeks as we profile these special animals and help find them homes for Christmas. We're calling it the Days of Dogmas here on 1170 SEN, 27 minutes to 9. All right, Charlie Goodsir opens the last half hour with massive news. He's done the homework. The question came in from a listener. Can you work out the combined salaries of the Denmark squad and compare it to the Socceroos? I think we're about to have our minds blown. Charlie, good service, Charlie.
What's up? Good morning. Great win. So I had a quick look, and for Denmark, they are worth, their squad of 26 players is worth 353 million euros. And compare that to the Socceroos, 37.3 million euros. So almost 10 times more expensive, and yet they still can't get a goal past us.
Wow. That says a lot about what Australia have done this morning. Rooster Man's been on the text line very quickly, so stay listening, Charlie. Then Charlie can work out Argentina's net worth for Sunday's game.
That's it.
Keep working.
You've got a few days. Do your job,
Charlie.
I'll do some digging. I'll get out my files, my archives, and have a look.
You did it quick, too. You got the answer quick. Very good.
Well, you start at Messi. Messi's worth more than the Australian team combined, isn't he?
Oh,
comfortable. That's what I mean. He's got them covered. The one player's got them covered. So there's a start for you, Charlie. I've done a little bit of your work. This one, when Albo's finished with Mr. Morrison, can he concentrate on getting my electricity bill down as promised? Where'd that come from? on our text line? Yeah.
Sure. G'day, VB. Marcel says, has Gus Hiddink had anything to do with the Socceroos' preparation, as there has always been rivalry between the Netherlands and Denmark? Just saying, says Marcel. Well, Gus was out here, wasn't he, in Australia, before they went into camp in Qatar. I don't know if Gus is anywhere near the side now, but Well, they were the team for the 2006 World Cup, weren't they? It was Gus
short
as the head coach.
He's had something to do with prep. He's had something to do with the prep of the Socceroos for.
And even if he's not there, I'm sure Graham Arnold is in contact with Gus.
All the good coaches have sounding boards. Doesn't matter how good they are. They have people they bounce ideas off. You know, Jack Gibson, always had Ron Massey, you know what I mean? The super coach, but always had a wingman, if you will. Martin says, good morning, team. Slow start to the day for me after staying up to watch the Socceroos' glorious victory. One, a gentle reminder that the Ollie Roos beat Argentina 2-0 at the Tokyo Olympics. Two, Argentina may have Lionel Messi, but we have Harry Suter, says Martin. I was at, years and years and years ago, Sydney Football Stadium. Would it be 1988 we beat Argentina in a game out here? Friendly, 4-0, Charlie Yankos playing. Remember that, Sydney Football Stadium? One of my first visits out, well, probably my only visit outside of a rugby league game to the Sydney Football Stadium. And and we beat Argentina 4-0. This is back in the 80s. I'm pretty sure listeners would be able
to
confirm
and
lock
that in. That
does
ring a bell with me too.
Yeah, Charlie Yankos.
It does ring a bell.
Did he get one from from a free kick? I sort of remember something, but I think it was 4-0. We're going way back.
Yeah.
Drawing anything.
It does
here.
Ring a bell. Western Sydney Eagle says, Aussies punching well above their weight. Eat a bag of them, Denmark. Yep. Good one.
Eat a bag of them, Denmark. I mean, that's just a beautiful
that's a good
text.
One.
That's a lovely,
that's a good one,
lovely
Eagle.
Text. Eat a bag of them. Now, yes, so Kramer from Brisbane came through. Socceroos wages about $59 million. Argentina about $750 million. He says France just over $900 million. Putting in millions here. So 900
yes.
million as opposed to Socceroos $59
million. Yeah.
Fascinating,
so it's,
you know, conversation stuff, isn't it? That sort of
fight. Well, if Denmark were 10 times as much, Argentina will be more, won't they? They'll be more than 10 times whatever the Australian wage is.
Yeah. Well, we're hoping to upset the plans of the Vossi and Brandy breakfast show equivalent in Argentina this week. And then we'll pick them off one by one because Denmark's a very dark place. We are there. They are our sons today. Jimmy Rabbit says, hey, guys, they're talking about Australia only having 10 goal scorers for World Cup games. We have only played 19 World Cup games. We are spreading the goals around, Jimmy Rabbit. Matt Leckie now joins the list of goal scorers for the Socceroos at the World Cup.
Did someone say eight? We've had now eight goal scorers.
I think he was
scorers.
The eighth, yeah. Joel,
eight
yeah,
different.
The eighth, that's right.
So just a reminder, Bossy, that this Sunday it's a doubleheader with the Sydney Kings taking on the Adelaide 36ers and the Sydney Flames host Bendigo. It's at Qdos Bank Arena this Sunday. Get your tickets through Ticketek. And tickets start from $22 and $48 for families. Vossi, I'm pretty sure it was 4-0 over Brazil at the SFS.
No, I disagree. No, I don't think it was Brazil. I don't think it was Brazil. I don't think I saw Brazil play. I definitely don't think it was Brazil. But anyway, I'll stand corrected. But we'll chase it up. We'll chase it up. Brandy, what do you think the difference is in percentage terms between the top and bottom ranked sides in a professional competition? We've done that one. Well, let's take that to the... I'll just dump that out of there. G'day, boys. Jonathan from Mate. Huge morning, emotional relief, greatest achievement in football history for Australia, all under control. Mate. Thank you, Jonathan, for that. All under control. It's not... If you saw Federation Square, the vision that you're watching your news services, or if you want to Google it now... Does that mean that people are standing there watching the game with flair in hand, ready to go off at any time? Because within seconds, Brandy, of the goal going in the back of the net from Leckie, the flares are lit off. Like you're not grabbing the flare out of a bag or something. You've got it in your hand, ready to go. Boom, and off they go.
So there's dozens of people just standing around waiting for that moment, waiting
you
for
might
the,
be
flare
on the flare
light.
The whole game. Yeah.
Yep.
Mark, you've
got
something
I can
to
answer this if you want to. I had been to a lot of lower league football games in my youth back in Scotland. And the place that they hide it, if you can probably guess where they hide it, that's usually where it is. It's straight down the front of the trousers because you're not allowed to take them in. So you've got to be careful because if it accidentally goes off, I'm sure. But no, that's usually where it is.
How do you have to actually get something? Like, do you have to light a flare?
I don't know how to describe it without
break
making it.
It
look.
You're going
to
break it.
Yeah, and then you like kind
snap
of like
it open.
Snap it like that. Yeah.
So it's one of those little glow sticks that you break the glow stick and it
lights
up.
A little bit, yeah. But it's just the top bit you twist off. Yeah.
That's one of the great cameos I've ever had, Mark. Yeah, we are. I haven't heard from him probably, you know, he's panelled 37 shows and he's just piped up there. But good stuff, Mark. It was good content.
Well, he's a soccer fan and we're talking flares, so he's all over it.
Yeah, and that's a fake accent, by the way. He's actually Mark of Maroubra.
Very good Scottish accent.
Bungs on that Scottish voice.
Yeah,
g'day. That's it. Greg of Sanssouci is our resident football expert on the McDonald Jones Open Line, 1300 01 1170. Greg, what have you got for us?
Let me tell you, the official terminology is ripping a flare.
Rippy.
And it was the 1988 Bicentennial Gold Cup, and whoever thought it was Brazil has no idea. It was, in fact, Argentina, and it was Charlie Yankos from around about 34 yards out, hit the ball with the outside of his right boot, went around the inside of a three-man wall and into the top left-hand corner.
Yes, there you go.
Where the spiders live.
4-0, 1988. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and just further information too, coming on the text line, Greg, Graham Arnold was in that team. So Arnie was a player.
He was indeed, mate. He absolutely was. Paul Wade opened the scoring that day and it was one of the best days I've ever had at the football. There was only about 25,000 people there. It was one of the first games, in fact it probably was the first game of football played at the SFS.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It was just a fantastic day. It was just huge. And today is right up there with it. It's very difficult. It's going to be very difficult around about 2 o'clock this afternoon to get through the rest of the day. I can tell you that right now.
Yeah. Good stuff, Greg.
Have the day off, Greg. Brandy, you can have the day off. So just have the day off. Great call, Greg. Thanks for putting that right. Yeah, the Bison, and it was the Bicentennial, and I was one of those 25,000 there, and still remember it to this day. 18, not 100%, but still remember most of it. 18 minutes to 9 as we head to the break. Here's Vanessa with Sydney's traffic. Beep, beep, beep,
beep, yeah. Thanks, guys. Reports just through of a 3-car crash at Jamison Town on the M4 motorway off-ramp to Mulgoa Road. Expect delays. At Greystanes, there was an earlier crash on the Cumberland Highway at the M4 off-ramp. It has been cleared, but some delays continue. And reports of a broken-down car at Mount Pleasant on the M1 Princes Motorway near New Mount Pleasant Road. Today's forecast, partly cloudy with a top of 23 degrees. For the first day of summer, a possible shower and 23 tomorrow. Right now, it's 19 degrees. That's traffic and weather together on Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy on SEN 1170 AM.
Michelle Bishop with her last update of the morning. I was going to say last update of the year, but it's Friday tomorrow, and then Vossie, you're still got next week. Tomorrow's my last day.
No, is that right? Oh, that'll be emotional.
Tomorrow's my last day.
The best off. Best off.
Michelle.
You told us that you drove off from the petrol station. That was a turning point in the year.
Wasn't it?
That changed the course of history on the text line.
You're never going to let that one go down. Never going to let
happening.
It down.
Mm.
Michelle Bishop.
Michelle, soccer news, Ronaldo. What's happening with him?
Plenty of it. Well, it all ended in tears, didn't it, at Manchester United? Ronaldo obviously slamming the Red Devils in that TV interview. And look, I was in Manchester and saw this unfold firsthand. You would have seen it too, Vossie. It led news bulletins, fans crying outside Old Trafford. The tears have dried up for Cristiano Ronaldo. He is about to become the highest paid sportsman of all time if this latest agreement goes ahead and when it's made official. $770 million deal. ESPN is reporting that it's a 2.5-year deal, $308 million Australian a year at Al Nassr in Saudi Arabia. So Ronaldo's waiting for the World Cup to be completed before he makes it all official. Now, he apparently turned down another offer from Al Hilal, also in Saudi Arabia, worth an incredible $5.3 million a week. And on top of that, there was interest from Newcastle as well, and I'm not talking the Newcastle Jets. But Al Nassr's first next game is on December 16. They're on, obviously, a break like the rest of the world for the World Cup. He won't be there until January, quite obviously. But wow. Big bucks. Stuff we kind of dream of.
Well, I'll say this. He doesn't let himself go. He must train hard. He certainly, there's more fat in the butcher's pencil than there is on Ronaldo. He keeps himself very fit. So he obviously does train. But he gets very well paid to train. I did notice on social media that Barnsley knocked him back. They said, Barnsley said, no, we want someone who can run. So Barnsley ruled themselves out of contention for Ronaldo over in the UK.
I believe he had a chat with David Beckham as well. So, look, you know, over there was a lot of people talking about him being washed up and, you know, he's had his day. Of course, he's, you know, he's obviously not in his prime now, but I guess it's the money off the pitch and everything that he's worth as well. But, wow, it's just big dollars.
Yeah, it's live money type. Live golf money, isn't it? Now, a mixed night for one of our Socceroos.
Yeah, this is really tough, guys. Bailey Wright, obviously elated with the result, Australia's brilliant win, progressing the way they did. But after the match, he went to his phone to find a text from his wife saying his mother-in-law back in England is seriously ill. So serious, in fact, she said, or he actually came out and said to one of the papers that I hope she's still with us. So obviously, you know, on her deathbed, which is very sad. But Bailey didn't tell his teammates about this, how serious this situation was. He sort of kept it to himself. He fronted up to the media and did what he had to do. You know, he sort of said everybody's going through their own stuff and it wasn't, you know, mine to share at that present moment in time. But, you know, it was his 31st appearance. He came on late in the second half against Denmark. And of course, he was part of that 2014 squad, but didn't get on. So last night was just extra special for him. But, you know, putting himself in that sort of situation, knowing what was going on at home, as he said, everyone's going through their own stuff, but that was, you know, pretty huge for him to have to battle through that. And just on top of that, you guys did mention this morning, but Coach Graham Arnold has moved on already after the celebrations, saying no celebrations, no emotion, sleep, no show social media. And he's convinced that's the right formula for success. And with two wins, two clean sheets, bring it on, guys.
Would be hard, though, wouldn't it? Absolutely. When you know it's going to be nothing but positive coming through, it'd be hard to ignore in this day and age the social media, you know, when you're over there. But no. Maybe. They could watch Netflix, Pepsi, Where's My Jet, or something like that. They could watch a little series that we heard about earlier today. That'd distract them for a little while. Michelle, we'll chat again tomorrow right here on the Home of Sport, SEN. That's a good response.
Thank you, Michelle.
Yes. And 11:70, right across the SEN network, our cricket coverage will start at midday today, day two of the first test, Australia and the West Indies. And it is 2 for 293, Labuschagne and Smith to return to the crease. I'm saying double centuries for both.
Do you want to clear something up for me? Roosterman's just said, come on, sports washing. What's sports washing?
Sports washing?
We're sports washing.
Sports washing.
Come on, sports washing, Rooster Man.
There we go.
I can't help anyone out there. And Davo says, well, the Roosters have just missed out on Ronaldo. Just.
Oh, that's the text line all over. It is 7:07.
Sports washing, Vossi. Sports washing. Roosterman has been back on the text. He said it is Saudi paying cash to flush money through other entities like Ronaldo.
Yeah, well, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of washing. Just also on the sport front, NBL next round kicks off tonight or tips off tonight. Breakers top of the table v South East Melbourne Phoenix. That's 5:30 Australian time. And then Brisbane v Perth is the 7:30 game. It's also the birthday of Wally Lewis today, Brandy. Wally Lewis, the king. How old?
How old's the king?
How old's the king?
I reckon the king's 63.
You're correct. 63 is. And yeah, no, correct. No, no, correct. Hey, oh, Mark, come on. No, you're distracted there. Come on. Bing, bang.
Yeah,
bang.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you.
Because
mate, I don't get many right. Come on. No. Don't rob me when I get it right.
Two of our immortals, because the late Bob Fulton also celebrated his birthday on the 1st of December. Bozo would have been 75 today. So there you go. Wally Lewis, the king, 63 years of age today. Thanks to all our texters, too. Been terrific this morning. It's an easy morning to come to work, isn't it? After a win like that for the Socceroos. And a little bit of cricket thrown in. And that's how we've rolled. And that's how we'll continue to roll between 9 and 12 before the cricket coverage starts again on SEN.
And now, will we have we got a couple of games at 2 o'clock tomorrow morning, and then again at 6? Have we got World Cup action just continuing?
Correctamundo. Croatia, okay. Belgium, and Canada, Mexico are the 2 o'clock games, and the 6 a.m. games: Japan and Spain, Costa Rica, Germany. Costa Rica, Germany. All three officials on ground will be women. First time ever. Referee and sideline officials will be women. There you go.
Wow, it's a big moment.
That's a note to finish. Brandy, thanks for your company today, mate. Go out there, ole, ole, ole.
Been great, Fossey.
Socceroo songs, enjoy it. Brandy said you're going to have the day off, so if you want to do it, do it. There we go. Have a great Thursday. It's easy when the Socceroos win, and bring on the round of 16.